This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good evening, everybody. It's Walter again. How are you guys this week? We have a few things we have to cover today, but first I want to extend that Skip is going to be out of the realm again today. He's not on a super secret mission this week. Said he wasn't feeling well, so he might chime in later on so we can listen to him be sick. But I'm going to handle this one. We had some emails. And we get quite a few. So our email address, I'll bring all that stuff up later in the show. People want to know what we think about the Kavanaugh hearing for Supreme Court. He was nominated by Mr. Trump a couple months ago, and he is under the gun right now. He's on the hot seat. He's been on the hot seat this whole week, and I got to tell you, day one, I was quite disappointed. Even in you left people, some of you guys, I don't know if it's a conspiracy or just pocket idiots. You want to call them sleeper cells? Fine, we'll call them sleeper cells. Disrupting the hearings to the point where his children had to be. And his wife had to be escorted out under police guard for their own safety because of the way these things were being, the way these people were acting in the arena. This is not the forum to do this stupid stuff. You know, they scream First Amendment, yeah, free speech, you know, your right to assembly, but you know, it's got to be in a lawful manner. You people just that do this kind of stuff just. Extend the law. You know, it's like expanding the batter's box in a baseball game. You know, if it's a strike, it's a strike. You know, that's fine. But if it's outside the plate and it's not a strike, you can't call it a strike. This is not the forum for an unlawful assembly. This is not the forum to harass or annoy. And that's not what the First Amendment is about. unbelievable. If the right did this when Sotomayor was going through this line of questioning, the left would have been appalled. I just don't understand why in the world people want to do this stupid stuff. And, you know, if you want to get a police record and do stupid stuff, you know, against the government and against these hearings, you know, be my guest. It's not necessary, but go ahead. I'm sure Pelosi will pay for your attorney and put money in your commissary account. So I think you got that part covered, but, Mr. Kavanaugh has handled himself very, very well this week. He's answered the questions to the best of his abilities. And you got to admit some of these questions that the Democrat side, asking him is just off the wall. He was just, asked by Feinstein about, the incident at SeaWorld, 12, 13 years ago when that young lady, who was swimming with the whales, who was killed by the whale. And, you know, she brought up precedents or things that he looked into as far as, you know, the definition of employer as per employee. And, you know, those were things that he did when, you know, he was with the Bush administration, George W. Bush. And I just don't see how that is relevant or that family needed to hear this brought up in these questioning, this line of questioning. I think it's ridiculous. But we have a reprieve, so to speak, and our reprieve is we don't have to listen to Al Franken. Al Frankenstein, we don't have to listen to him. Thank goodness. He's not in the background grabbing any sleeping woman's chest or making believe he's grabbing anyone's chest. So we don't have to deal with Franken. But then again, you know, just like a cheap-ass drug dealer on the street corner, you know, you get rid of one, another idiot shows up. So at least it's not Al Franken. And I hope Mr. Franken gives us a call or emails us and comes on the show sometime. He's one character I'd like to put under the grindstone. But anyway, Mr. Kavanaugh has been doing a great job doing his answering of the questions. He smiles, I think he's going to make a good SCOTUS and what the left don't like is it's going to unbalance it. It's going to be 5-4 as far as left versus right, right versus left. It's going to be in the majority of the conservatives when Mr. Kavanaugh is confirmed. So let's get to the lady that sits behind Mr. Kavanaugh. And she was accused of giving a white supremacist hand signal. Now, and it's supposed to be like, you know, like you say, okay, with your pointer and your finger, your pointer finger and your thumb and the other three fingers in a position like an okay kind of thing. And you know, I consider myself a man of the world. I've been around the block once or twice, and I've hit the brick wall once or twice. But you know, I'd never heard of such. Never heard of such a thing. I wish Scoop was here to reiterate on this. Scoop would be the one to ask because he filled me in on where Cracker came from a few weeks ago. This okay symbol being a white supremacist signal of some kind, and it turns out this lovely, pretty young lady that's sitting behind him is half Mexican and half Jewish or from Jewish descent, which would absolutely negate her from what I know what white supremacists represent. And you know, and then that was dropped when they found out her background, her heritage. That was dropped like a hot potato. So these left people, you know, I can't always say Democrats because there's Democrats that are going to vote Republican. So the left is just opportunists. And we'll be back with more right after these words.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, They would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Hey, it's Walter again. We're here talking about the Kavanaugh hearing that's going on to get that happened this week to get Mr. Kavanaugh confirmed as the next Supreme Court justice. We were talking about the left, you know, the antics that these people are pulling. You know, it's so stupid. It's like dumb entertainment. The ridiculousness of these people. You got people dressing up in rolling themselves up in a 6-foot condom and wearing a 6-foot condom over their entire body. Isn't that just stupid? And then you got the ladies and the men wearing vajayjay costumes. I just don't get it. You know, it's close to Halloween, but it's not Halloween, not quite yet. Unbelievable the way these people dress and act, grown people. And, you know, again, the children of Mr. Kavanaugh had to be escorted, you know, out by the armed guards because of potential threat of violence. And that's just ridiculous. You know, you have, when they did the Bill of Rights, you know, this wasn't in the planning. This wasn't in the planning. And when you put these people in that are uneducated and unskilled and have nothing better to do than literally spit in the government's eye, you don't have to agree with it. You know, I don't agree with everything. And that's what's good about this country. And you can say you don't agree with it. But to go into a forum such as this and just make a complete ass of yourself and an ass of the people that you think you represent is just uncalled for. If I was on the left, I'd be saying the same thing. And I'm not on the left. I'm not so much a Republican. I'm more of a candidate type person. And my own beliefs, I follow my own heart, my own brain. My heart works better than my brain sometimes, but I follow them just the same. So we'll move away from that because it's going to be a few more days before a discussion is this discussion. discussion is going to be over. This is going to go on for quite a while. We have, who wears sneakers? You know, down here in the Middle South, they call them tennis shoes. We call them, I still call them sneakers. Sneakers about covers all aspects of what active footwear is about. Tennis shoes are tennis shoes, aerobic shoes are aerobic shoes, I don't know. Yeah, sneakers are sneakers. Give me a good pair of Chuck Taylors and I'm just fine. However, Nike doesn't make Chuck Taylors, thank goodness. And it seems that Kaepernick, and I hate to say that guy's name out loud, has signed a big fat contract with Nike. He's going to be their face of their new campaign to sell sneakers. Now, I never owned a pair of Nike shoes, to be honest. They don't fit right. I got 13 and a half. My foot is 13 and a half. And when I remember trying them on, even the wide sneaker never fit right. So I guess, you know, kind of gets me out of it. But it's not just the sneakers. I mean, there's shirts and sweatsuits and running suits and hats and you know the Nike check logo was even in Forrest Gump. In the movie Forrest Gump, I think he wore a hat when he was running and grew that long beard and long hair. But you know, the Nike thing now with Kaepernick is something that is been discussed. We have the Fraternal Order of Police have put out a statement that he doesn't. It says sacrifice everything, whatever it says. It says Kaepernick. Now, Kaepernick, what did he sacrifice, this guy? He sacrificed nothing. He was a quarterback in the NFL, fairly decent the first few years, and then became the 26-year-old thug that everybody thought he would. Not because he's got tattoos or because of his beliefs, but the way he acts, you know, in public, you know, taking the knee and having his buddies take a knee and, you know, in the face of police was supposed to have been shooting defenseless young black men, but he doesn't take a knee for when young black men shoot other black men. That's not his goal. His goal was to undermine the law enforcement agencies across our country and perhaps even the globe. But Mr. Kaepernick is another one of them guys that has a platform and is not using it, you know, for the benefit of others. He's not backing up what he says. He's just talking a bunch of crap without having a background in it. I mean, the guy has had a multi-million-dollar contract for, what, 10 years now? The 49ers are still paying him, even though he's not a 49er anymore. They're still paying him because of the way his contract was set up. And now he's a Nike representative. He's the face of Nike. Nike doesn't address, you know, the murders that happen because of their shoes. And it's not just Nike's shoes. It's other shoes. It's other brands. I'm not going to mention the other brands. The other brands also the same thing. You know, and it's mostly in these under-resourced neighborhoods that Michelle Obama calls them. They're the ghetto, period. They're the ghetto. And when you're walking down with a new pair of Nikes, somebody wants them. Unless you're a real badass, somebody's going to get them from you one way or another. You know, they'll tell you how much they like your shoes, and yeah, they're about my size, and guess what? Either you give them up, or I'm going to take them. And usually they're getting took. And I remember back in the day in the 80s where we were finding people shot with no shoes on. What was happening was back then it was Reeboks, and the Reeboks were being stolen. Whether they were giving up or somebody was shot over a pair of sneakers. So, you know, when Mr. Kaepernick, you know, goes, walks down to Chicago and wears his brand new Nikes without nobody knowing that he's going to do this and starts walking around in the hood, we'll see how long those shoes stay on his feet. And then we'll see the campaign that Nike has because they're just gearing this towards, you know, and these shoes aren't cheap. You know, we're talking, you know, $150, $200, $300 for some pairs of Nikes and some styles of Nikes. And aiming these at the hood, and these people don't have the money. And if they do have the money and you're 17 and you got a pair of $300 Nikes and you're not working, you know, I'd like to know where you're getting the money from to buy them or who you took them from. And then follow the paper trail. Where did that guy get them? Where did that girl get them from? You know, there aren't any Nike stores in the hood. You got to go outside the hood and go get them. I can go get a pair of Nikes here in my neighborhood, but in the hood, you can't get a pair of Nikes. You have to go out and get them or get them from somebody. So we're going to, it's just unbelievable. You know, the people talk more about police killing black men than black men killing black men and vice versa. It's just horrible. That's the first half of our show, and my rambling will continue for another 30 minutes right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We'll be right back.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Hey, it's Walter again. Back here rambling a little bit, and we were just talking about the Kaepernick sacrifice campaign slogan for Nike, and I'm just appalled at it. There's law enforcement people all over the world that are appalled at this. Law enforcement, our military service members, they're the ones putting the sacrifice out there. What did Kaepernick sacrifice? I don't think he sacrificed anything. He expressed his right to of the First Amendment, but he did it in such a fashion where millions and millions and millions of people saw it, and in the same token, millions and millions and millions of people don't like it. However, it's his right to express his way. You don't have to agree with it, and I don't. Like I said many times before in this NFL kneeling thing, you know, guys get a soapbox or a box and stand up on your town square or down in front of City Hall and see how many people stop and listen to you that are actually listening to you. I mean, I might stop just to look to see what kind of a spectacle you're making at yourself, but I will still have my own views. Nobody's going to call me up and change my views, and it's just a horrible way to express your views in a forum where it's a captive audience, like I always say, like the football stadiums. I'm not going to. From now on, if I go to a football game, when the national anthem plays, I will stand, I will salute, and I will turn my back on the players that are kneeling. That'll probably be my way but then again, you probably won't catch me at a football game anytime soon until this knot gets untied. It's ridiculous. Anyway, enough on that character. He had enough print this week. I'm not going to give him any more than necessary, except just to make my point. Marco Rubio had an issue. I believe it was it Alex Jones? I'm getting head shakes and head nods. And the guy put his hand. He was actually harassing him. Rubio, while he was trying to give an interview to another reporter, and touched him on the shoulder. And Mr. Rubio said, don't touch me. And the guy said, well, are you going to call the police? And Mr. Rubio told him that he'd handle it himself. And right away, the guy says, oh, he's going to beat me up. All right, you know, enough of that. Mr. Rubio was a gentleman. I wouldn't have handled it in such a way. Don't touch anybody. Keep your hands to yourself. I guarantee you, if there are certain people who, if you touch them the way he touched Mr. Rubio, he'd lose that hand from the neck down. People are taking too many liberties with other people's rights. You have the right to talk. You can stand there all day long, and you can heckle, and you can filibust, and you can do whatever you like, you know, verbally, as long as it's not annoying or harassing, because that's not what the First Amendment is about. And touching somebody else, Lord have mercy. He's just lucky that Mr. Rubio was a gentleman, because there are people that get bumped in the street and get shot, let alone getting deliberately touched. This fella is an annoying man. Again, he has his right to speak how he speaks, but not in an annoying or harassing manner, and that's what he was doing. It was childish, and I think Mr. Rubio addressed it to such a point where he wasn't baited to fall into a I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? Kind of Pee Wee Herman argument. And a lot of people don't like Mr. Rubio. I'm not a big fan, but he handled it in the right manner. I think that's the way to handle it. But, you know, this guy overstepped his boundaries. by laying his hands on another person. You don't do that. You don't do that. Wrong. Again, if Scoop was here, we'd have a good conversation on that. I, for one, don't like to be touched unless I want to be touched. And I think most of you guys and ladies that are out there that are listening feel the same way. A handshake, that's fine. It's an expression of gratitude, hello, and civility. But when he wasn't getting Mr. Rubio, he took it a step further and put his hand on his shoulder and touched him. Now, why would you want to touch somebody else? I wouldn't want to touch somebody else. It wasn't a show of affection. It was a baited attempt to get Mr. Rubio to say something that he didn't want to get into. And again, it wasn't the right forum. Just more left nonsense baloney. Okay, Mr. Woodward, Bob Woodward. We haven't heard that name in 40 years, plus years. Him and Carl Bernstein are the two guys that started the Watergate investigation that ultimately Mr. Nixon resigned from the presidency. The break-in at the Watergate and stealing files and stuff like that. And, you know, it got around to where Mr. Nixon okayed it and such, and then it was 18 minutes. Anyway, that was Woodward's 15 minutes of fame. They made a movie. I think Robert Redford played him in the movie, and we haven't heard from this guy in 40-plus years. Okay. He comes out with a book, freedom of the press, I don't think, you know, according to the people that he's said to have quoted in his book saying these bad things about Mr. Trump and, you know, Mad Dog Mattis, we all know him, is one. There are a few others that are now saying that these statements are fake and fictitious and made up. So let's start the lawsuits and let's nip this in the bud. And again, that this book has kind of died out in the past couple of days because of the fallout of the people stepping forward and saying, I didn't say that. I never said that. Never talked to Bob Woodward. Never said anything like that. Not to Mr. Trump, behind Mr. Trump, to his kids or anything else. These things are fictitious, and I think this is going to be one hell of a fight in a courtroom someday on this. Now, again, this Bob Woodward book, I'd like to read it if any of my fans out there, and I say fans, you know, I ain't no superstar, that's for sure. But if any of my Twitter followers are inclined and have a copy, I will not buy it. If they're inclined, send it to me. Contact me through my Twitter account at Walter Yerkew, and we can get it sent out where I can get a copy of it and read it. And when I'm done with it, I'll do with it what I did with the last book that was sent to me that I needed to read that I wouldn't buy. I'll burn it in my burn barrel with my burnable trash. We're allowed to do that down here in the South for the most part. It's burnable trash. And I'll take care of that book real quick. But Bob Woodward, you know, another 15 minutes of fame. And I think that's about all that lasted. I think it was one big night that he had. All the news stations, Fox, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, they all had it. And, oh, this is a book. This is something that Mr. Trump is going to have to answer to. And Mr. Trump is going to have to read. And Mr. Trump is going to, you know, it's just not going to happen. Mr. Trump is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's not a politician. He's the president of the United States. Nowhere does it say that president needs to be a politician. The guy's a businessman. He has done very well, I believe. There's more people working these days than there was before he took office. He's not done yet. He's got six more years of this. And I believe the next 6 years is going to show even more of what this country needs to get back to is, you know, as far as the workforce, work ethics. Take pride in your work. You know, there's too damn many people out there that want to stay on the meal ticket, the free meal ticket, and not work because they can make just about as much money not working as they could work. And you know how that affects the rest of us. This is 7-5 Radio. We will be back.
Week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Okay, we're back. We're going to wrap up the show over the next 10 or 15 minutes or so. We do appreciate you guys listening in and tuning in week in and week out and listening to our archives. You can listen to our archives on 75radio.wordpress.com. Hit the menu button, and that will take you to 4 or 5 other buttons, including our archives. And click on that, you can listen to any newscast, any broadcast that we've had since April of 2018. go ahead and check it out. Each one is labeled so you know what you're getting into before you press the button. Just hit the play button and sit back and listen. We talk about all kinds of stuff. You can contact me on my Twitter, at Walter Yerkew. You can contact Scoop at Scoop Stanton. And you can contact 75 Radio on Twitter also at 75 Radio 1. You can find that particular address at 75. You got to spell it out, radio, and the number 1. You can also, if you forget, just go to my Twitter account. If you follow me, just go to my profile page or Scoop's profile page and you'll find it. And, we'll take care of you if you contact us. Like I said, we had emails and contacts on the Kavanaugh thing, also the Kaepernick thing, and we enjoy hearing from you. We enjoy hearing the feedback. Good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter. Going to wrap this up today's show with somebody that used to be on the Cosby Show, has been in the news this past week. Somebody spotted him at Trader Joe's in New Jersey, working the cash register, stocking shelves. And this fella, Jeff Owens, I believe he played the character that was dating the oldest daughter on the show, ages and ages ago. Well, since then, he's had to quit Trader Joe's because once the cat was out of the bag, he couldn't go to work without being bothered by the general public, in a good way and bad way. If a lot of people remember that Gary Coleman from the Different Strokes fame couldn't find work in acting once he kind of aged out of his character. He was a security guard down there at Universal or Paramount or something. And people would make fun of him. And stuff happens. People have to make a living. And then when they are making a living, there are idiots out there that just won't let them make a living. Okay? Now, I'm going to throw myself in for this example. I had one of the greatest jobs in the world, and I screwed it up. All right? I've atoned for it. I paid for it. And then I had to find work. Now, coming out of prison after 6 years is not easy. Coming out of a TV show also, not me, Jeff Owens, coming out of a TV show, and you don't have work as an actor. I couldn't find work as a police officer, obviously. And same thing with Gary Coleman. You got to do what you got to do in order to put milk on the table for your family. And I think, Owens did the right thing. Coleman did. And there's millions of other people that do the same thing. They lose their job because of circumstance, whether it was by their own selves or because of, let's just say, the show got canceled. Let's just use that as a metaphor. My show got canceled, and I had to find work. And, I work now. I work now. And I'm retired, but I still work part-time. You still need to find work. And I commend that man for stepping up and not falling apart and saying, oh, my life is over. I'm an actor, but nobody wants me to be an actor, and I'm not going to find work, so I'm going to go on the government plan because I'm psychologically damaged, and I can't hold a job because my emotions, and I need medication. And, so many people take that cop out, and they get on a free ride. This guy, Jeff Owens, he did the right thing. He went and he found a job. Fortunately worked out. He's got a few offers for television shows. He was kind of in obscurity, and he was just living his life. He was getting in his old Chevy and driving to work and doing whatever his supervisor asked him to do, and he'd go home until somebody recognized him. And you know, same thing with me in a roundabout way, with the 7.5 product. I get recognized or say, you know, you look like that guy in that movie with them cops. And, you know, I could say, well, what movie? And I don't. It's not that I'm proud of the wrongs that I've done. I'm proud of the rights I've done since. And I say, yeah, that was me. But, you know, look at me now. You know, I did very well after I got out of prison. I was lucky. It was tough for a couple of years. You know, you got some shame involved. You have a little bit of emotion involved. And you're looking for that one shot to help you out for the rest of your life. And I found my shot. And it worked out very well. I raised a family and put milk on the table for them. So there's nothing wrong with working any job, no matter how menial other people may think it may be. You need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and you need to go out and get that job so you can stop at the grocery store and pick up milk for your family. And when I say milk, I mean, you know, you're paying your bills is what I'm getting at. So just, and it's just horrible when I see people in a doctor's office, and I recognize them and I know they're on public assistance. And then they pull out, you know, this phone, I still say BlackBerry, but, and then they pull out their big BlackBerry. You know, and back then, I could, working full time, I couldn't afford a BlackBerry. I had a flip phone. So, you know, and these days now it's even more. You know, they got tablets on their hips. They got tablets in their bags. You know, no more, you know, cheap laptops. Everything's a tablet or what do they call it? An iPad or some damn thing. You know, work for a living. Work for a living. It's the working man that has it tough. And take pride in what you do. It's not everybody's business, but take pride in what you do. You don't have to have a super income. You don't have to have a superlative job. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be any of those things. If you don't, you could if you want to. But working in the liquor store or working at the gas station or you're making money, that's fine. That's easing up the burden on the rest of the people. That's helping out the burden on the rest of us, including yourselves, for the people who don't want to be in the workforce anymore. You know, I'm pretty damn adamant about, I'd rather work for 10 hours a day and make $100 than sit on my ass every day and get a $900 a month check for nothing. And some people just don't realize it. Take pride in yourself. I mean, you know, God. Don't buy Nikes because you can't afford them. So anyway, that was my morning ramble. I want to end the show. We only got a couple of minutes. I want to end the show with family is very important. My son got his own apartment. He's 19, and he's like, Dad, I'd like my own place. And, you know, it was like a hitch in my breath. And I knew that day was coming. And I says, okay, I'll do what I can. He says, I appreciate that. He says, I love you for doing everything. And he said the same thing to his mom. And he's moved into his own place. I haven't been invited yet, but that's okay. It probably took me about 6 or 7 months to get my parents over to my house when I bought my first house, or well, my first apartment back in 1970. God, darn, I'm not going to say the year. And I got to tell you, you know, his apartment is his rent is a lot less than what my first apartment was 40 years ago, because my first apartment was $500 a month. His is less than three. So he's living in the right place. So that's another show in the books.
I appreciate you guys' calls and emails. Tune in, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.